Hello and welcome to the Devil's Trident podcast. We are back after an international break, and United have toyed with us a little bit tonight, but they've got the win against Brighton with a 2-1 victory, which should, we think, secure Champions League football, or at least go a long way towards doing that. I'm here tonight with Matt.
Hello.
I'm here tonight with James.
Hello, happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter? You took me by surprise then by saying happy Easter.
Well, I'm feeling festive.
Festive. Easter festivities.
Well, it's like 255 days till Christmas, so...
Is it?
Oh, don't start.
That feels like... That's not the main countdown, though, right now, is it? Pints in the pub.
Yeah, we've got more important countdowns, like the Joe one.
Pints in the pub with friends. Pints outside pubs. Pints everywhere with everyone. And then the Euros countdown is obviously a big countdown as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah... Spirits are, I say medium, that's because I think they put her through the ringer a little bit tonight, United. Not a great first half by any stretch, and there was a bit of a hangover, really, from the FA Cup defeat at Leicester, where we were making the same mistakes, we were giving the ball away. Unforced errors, misplaced passes, the whole lot, really, and don't know, did you always feel like we're going to come back into it tonight, Matt?
No. No.
My feeling.
Yeah,
exactly,
my...
Yeah.
It
felt a bit Sheffield United to me.
Yeah, the short and long of it was, for me, that we just looked pretty abysmal for that first half. I mean, we have a habit of coming out and being better in the second half and clicking into gear, but there was just nothing to suggest we were going to do anything in that first half. And which is frustrating, though, because obviously, you like a typical Sunday vibes, you normally miss the first... 2 to 10 minutes of the game. So I was on note duty, and yeah, the only thing I could put
we were
was
good in them 2 minutes.
United started brightly, but only because that's what they said on commentary. we started pretty good actually for the first like 5 minutes, and then it all went to pot once Brighton scored. But you know what? We won at the end, so yeah, can't complain too much.
Yeah, a real game of two halves, James.
It definitely was. I don't know about Easter egg hunts, but Man United, the players certainly struggled to find each other in that first half for long periods, which was worrying. And some of our key players were not quite on it, which was commented on. You know, I checked Twitter just because it's compulsive. We struggle to sort of keep away from Twitter during the game, but it's always nice to see other opinions and just sort of throw them out there, because even if you don't agree, but one in particular was that it's interesting because when you saw us failing to pass to each other and all the rest of it and the slackness in our play, you start to think, why is this happening? Is it down to coaching or whatever? And Brighton did have good spells, especially in that first half. You know, it seemed like they were sort of on top of us. They had our number. But there was a tweet that said something along the lines of, like, the better coached team is winning, and our strategy of relying on the same four players to create magic isn't working because they're knackered. Now, you could take that any way you like, you know, the international duty being part of it, maybe, because, like, Shaw and Rashford wasn't part of it, was he? But,
no.
You know, Bruno. The whole travel element, I hate using excuses, and it shouldn't really be an excuse, I don't think, you know, because some of the passages of play in that first half were really dismal. It's some of these kind of passes that are just pinged to sort of nobody. And it really frustrates me that, and I'd love to get to the bottom of it. Like, why sometimes do we come across so lethargic, not even tired, just, and the body language is all sort of like, well, if you're not moving, I'll just ping it somewhere relative to where you might be. Frustrating, but... You know, what did I say, Matthew, before the game even started? I said I had a prediction for for a goal scorer.
Yes, you did. I believe it was a Daniel Welbeck.
Yes,
Danny,
the champion of the world. I just sat there and I don't know, as the game was unfolding, we did start brightly, which was great. I just had a funny feeling, like a weird cloud over my head, and I thought, hang on a minute. If Brighton are scoring today, and I feel like they might, it's got to be Danny Welbeck. Don't know what I'm basing that on, but I could almost hear Darren Fletcher's annoying voice in my head. He's back! He scored again!
The bad Darren Fletcher.
Yeah.
A good one.
And how poorly we played in that first half, coupled with Steve McManaman's commentary there. You know, at times it was like death by a thousand cuts, wasn't it? But there you go. I'm glad we turned it around in the end, though.
Yeah. You can never quite put your finger on what it was, because, like you say, the international break was a bit of a weird one in that a lot of our more influential players, our bigger players, didn't actually do a right lot in the international break. Like, Marcus Rashford didn't play and was probably on the treatment table. You know, Greenwood, also the same. Fernandes only played one game. Shaw only played one game. Pogba didn't. He wasn't completing 90 minutes, I don't think.
The game I did watch him play, he was pretty bob. To be fair.
I don't know if he might have played a full game, but he definitely didn't play all of them throughout.
Yeah, he did play the full one. The game I watched, he played the whole game. I can't remember who it was.
Van der Beek was on the bench for a few. Like, the South American guys didn't. Their qualifiers were cancelled because of COVID and everything, weren't they? So that's Fred at home and Cavani at home, Telles. Obviously, a lot of them didn't play tonight, but I think even Lindelof, I don't think he played both games for Sweden. But Maguire had a night off as well for England. So, you know, they've played less football than they would have done. Plus the fact that the last game that we played against Leicester, there was changes galore in that game, and, you know, Shaw was on the bench, Fernandes was on the bench. So the football in the legs of a lot of our big players in the last few weeks is, you know, has dropped. So was it rustiness more than knackeredness, like whoever tweeted that? Were they just a bit too overconfident tonight and just loose with it? Because it was a lot of carelessness, really, with the passing.
Yeah, there was a lot of carelessness with the passing, but it also, you need to, I think it's one of those games where we couldn't really seem to find each other, but also, like, nothing was really bouncing for us at all. Like, just some really unfortunate, like, deflections and little nicks. And obviously Greenwood hitting the post, and Henderson getting the first save, and then obviously bouncing back off Welbeck. I mean, it's a good goal by Welbeck, but again, just any other place, any other time, Henderson gets to it and it goes slightly right, slightly left, and it wouldn't have been a goal. But it's just one of those really frustrating afternoons. And to be fair, you got to give Brighton credit where it's due, because, like, they were really good, weren't they? The way they set up and the way they defended, and just they were just so tight at the back. And we know we're pretty shit at breaking teams down like that. But to be fair, they've been one of the best ones. And it wouldn't surprise me if Solskjaer was like, you know what, if we don't score in the first half, it's totally fine, because if you just keep at it, grind them down, eventually, be patient, and the goal will come. And
yeah,
that's obviously what happened.
Well, he kind of said that afterwards. He said no tweak to the tactics at half-time. They carried on doing what they planned on doing. But even their goal was self-inflicted, really, wasn't it? Poor pass from Pogba, and then the ball goes out wide. I can't remember who crossed it in for Brighton, but Wan-Bissaka loses Welbeck. He looks at him before they both run, you know, into the space, but then somehow seems to forget that he's there, and Welbeck sneaks in behind him.
Yeah, I think he's a bit slow to react to it, to be fair. I think,
yeah,
if you look at it, I think the way Lindelof goes up for the ball, you think Wan-Bissaka might be thinking, oh, Lindelof's got this.
Mm.
But, I mean, we know that Lindelof's not the tallest guy in the world, and he's obviously not the best header of the ball. So he goes up and he just goes straight over his head. So I think he wasn't anticipating having to try and stick in a late head. But yeah, he's behind him. So I don't know how he thought he was going to do anything in that circumstance. But unfortunate for Henderson as well, because the first save is a really good save. But there's not really much you can do about the second deflection.
Yeah, I don't think you can lay any blame at Henderson's door on that one. But interesting call that he did get picked tonight as well, because I can't remember who thought who was going to come back in. You thought Henderson was staying, didn't you?
No.
Or did you think?
I thought De Gea was coming back.
I can't remember what I thought. It's been that long. But, yeah, and it was still, either way, a big call. De Gea's obviously fit and back in the squad. Neither played any minutes, I don't think, during the international break.
No.
So there's also not the case of one being rested more than the other or anything. They're both as fresh as each other. And, yeah, Henderson's kept the gloves. Is that a sign of things to come for the rest of the season, do you think?
I would say so. I would say so, definitely, yeah. I would say that United have set the stall out there, which I've got mixed feelings about, because it's nice to see the changing of the guard, albeit it's quite bizarre and it's sort of come towards the end of a season. It would be madness to chop and change your goalkeeper, you know, in the league. Like, we all know teams have cup goalkeepers, and United have flirted with that. They've done that consistently.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what they've done.
Yeah, like Romero has been the cup keeper until the final, curiously, sometimes. I mean, it's there's different schools of thought on that, of course. But, yeah, the whole Henderson-De Gea thing seems to be coming to a head. And I would be surprised now, as of the past few hours, because before this game, De Gea was one of the top trends on Twitter, and they were talking about, yeah, it seems, sources, don't know who they are, but, you know, the powers that be, saying that, yeah, he's going to be gone at the end of the season, and yeah, so people
might have to buy out some of his contract or something to get rid of him, yeah.
Yeah, and people lamenting about his time there, I'm sure that's, you know, something for another time. We've said our piece on it, of course, and rightly so. It's, yeah, it's going to be a shame to... It just seems like the wheels are turning now. Mm. And it's funny how one decision in one match can sort of make you think that. Because Henderson being given the nod here... Because like I say, if this was a cup game, you don't really think much of it. Even if De Gea would have played, you'd have gone, yeah, well, it makes sense. You chop and you change. But if we're going to try and nail down that second place in the league... Because I'm thinking the only other time really... We saw it with Carroll and Howard. We saw, like... when Ferguson wasn't sure. And then we saw it with De Gea himself and Lindegaard. And I'm pretty sure in league matches that fluctuated. It wasn't just like the cup and stuff. Fergie just wasn't sure whether to take De Gea out of the firing line. And it's so funny that that could come full circle at the end, the perceived end of De Gea's United career. But yeah, Henderson though, going back to the goal... to segue back, it is a shame, isn't it? Because that was a good save, like the reaction save from the Welbeck shot, and it just ricochets back to him. But yeah, more of our own doing with the Pogba. It's kind of Pogba from about a year or so ago. That kind of it looks, you know, body language alone, it sort of looks a little bit languid, a little bit lazy, and it's just if you've got your thinking cap on, you maybe play a better pass than what he did. They've come and pressed us, and they've had a go at us, which is fine, you know. But we've played into their hands, and it's just what you're frightened of with United at any time, not just these days. Just being casual, lackadaisical. Wan-Bissaka giving the ball away a load of times. Fred was not one of our best players today, and I'll give credit where it's due. I hammered him a few weeks ago because he wasn't passing to his teammates. Today he was really, really good, and he was playing some incisive passes, and maybe he got the message.
He's had 2 weeks with Michael Carrington.
Of course, yeah. Carrington. But what I would say about the half-time talk that you're alluding to, maybe Solskjaer reminded them politely but firmly to pass to a red shirt, and maybe that's where the turnaround came from. I don't know.
Yeah, there was definitely a turnaround, weren't there? But yeah, after the goal, we kind of fell to bits a little bit, a few comments on like the half-time post when we were down, just saying we've stopped playing. Well, not at half-time. We stopped playing after they scored, yeah. And, like, maybe our heads went a little bit, and I feel like they were overconfident tonight. I think we've seen that results have kind of gone our way this weekend, and, you know, we've got the freshness back, and, you know, maybe a spring in our step again, and people have got into a bit of rhythm with the few games they've played for international sides, whether scoring goals or winning games and stuff. And maybe I think we kind of strolled back into this game and didn't really have the, not the drive. I think because it looked bright, like you said early on, like Greenwood hitting the post and it was dominating the ball. But yeah, it just looked like they thought Brighton were easy pickings, and I don't think that's the case.
No, and you shouldn't really be giving, Brighton that kind of, shouldn't be painting with that brush, because they're a very good side, Brighton, and I think their league table, their position in the league doesn't really represent what kind of team they are. Brian Potter's done a really good job with them.
Brian Potter?
Oh,
is that my striker singing Acapulco? Oh, me angina. Simon, sorry, eh? You cack-handed frigger.
Oh,
roll that back.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're staying in, so carry on.
Yeah, so Ironside has done a really good job with them. Jesus Christ. Yeah, and they deserved. I think they deserved probably something better out of that game. Really, we were pretty lucky to get the win. Really, because it could have easily gone another way. Like if like like I was saying before, with the decisions not really going our way and like us not having a bit of a good look, that could have easily been a penalty, that, even though it obviously wasn't a penalty when Maguire brings Welbeck down. But if that turned into a penalty challenge, then again we're back to square one. We're drawing with 2-2.
Yeah.
And
yeah, well, we say that though, but just judging from my notes for the first half, like, yeah, Brighton were in the lead. They got the one goal, but they sat back, didn't they, and defended that. Yeah, they broke a few times, and
they looked more dangerous than that than we did, though.
Yeah, but yeah, they had bits of nice play, but they didn't really fashion loads of clear cut chances after they scored, really. And most of the frustration was kind of from our own failures, really, wasn't it? Rather than us being dominated or anything like that. So, yeah. It wasn't dead and buried by any means at half time. It just needed us to step up, to show what they can actually do. It needed Pogba to come alive, or Mbrino, or just moments, like you say, because we do live on these moments. We live on these players like producing something in just flashes of play. That's pretty much what we've done all season. And yeah, when it doesn't work, it's abundantly clear that, you know, we've not got much else, but we did eventually produce something. But it all came from just getting a bit of space, didn't it? And that's what we struggle with, really. If a team doesn't give us space, we're poor. We lack imagination. We look predictable. But we won the ball back. I think it was Cavani that won it back, wasn't it, in their half? And he lays it off to Bruno, and he kind of delays the pass, and Marcus Rashford, well, delivered a really good finish.
We've seen him do that a few times, and on quite a few occasions he's scored it. The one that comes to my mind is the FA Cup against Liverpool. Yeah, it was like a reverse angle carbon copy. And even then, yeah, he opens his body up, and I think on that podcast I was saying he stayed true to himself, and that's the way he wanted to take a chance. He was determined to take a chance in that way, like the way he shaped to hit it. And it's funny, really, because obviously I was speaking to Matt during the game. Matt's a goalkeeper, as we all know, and we do Matt's goalkeeping corner. And on the occasion with Alisson for Liverpool, and Sanchez on this occasion, it looks like he could just get down and save it. It could just get to it. Now, I don't know if Rashford sort of managed to freeze time and sort of warp reality and just sort of for a second there. But he squeezed it in again. It's like a really tidy finish, and it was wonderful. But just in the second when Bruno plays it to him, I don't know, part of me wanted him to just sort of hit it low and hard, bang, just, you know, laces maybe, just don't even give the keeper an inch.
Just rasp it.
But maybe, yeah. And sometimes you miss those, sometimes you don't. But I guess get your head down, make the keeper's mind up for him. But he did that kind of, he opened his foot up and sort of curled it, and it's inches. It's sort of, for a goalkeeper, it's agonising, I guess. But Matt was saying maybe the keeper should do better, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think I said that, but then you got to think in the position where you're in. Sanchez is probably thinking that he's going to do that. He's going to hit it like low and hard, but instead he's placed it and curled it, and he's having to shift his body into like almost impossible angle. And to be fair, if it had just stretched his hand out, it'd have got to it. But if it's a really awkward way to land, and it probably might have done himself more hassle than good. So yeah, I did say that originally, but then looking back at him, I think it might have been a bit of a tough call for him.
Yeah, maybe
just because the way it would have landed pretty awkwardly, I would have thought, just because the way the rest of his body was positioned.
So maybe half the work was actually getting down to it, preparing for maybe a high shot or one that's going to be way out of your reach, and then thinking, oh, hang on a minute. But anyway, no, it was interesting to see Rashford take a shot on like that and score that goal. Like, despite, you know, because again, maybe if Sanchez had that chance again, maybe he saves it. But that goal gets better every time you watch it.
Yeah.
Better in slow-mo.
Yeah, it was good composure from him. That's kind of the thing we've been looking for him for years. And he doesn't have it every single time, but he's done it more and more this season. And he's as we've said numerous times, he's still delivering great numbers again. Not a fantastic game tonight. I mean, but it wasn't a fantastic game for anybody, especially in the first half, and he only played half of the second half. So, you know, he's not on his own there. It took us 51 minutes to have a shot on target through Rashford from about 30 yards out. So it kind of tells the tale, but I think they're kind of managing him. He came off with an injury again, and Solskjaer doesn't seem to know if he'll be right for Thursday, which is bad when you factor in the fact that before the game we found out that Martial might be out for the rest of the season, potentially. They're hoping he'll be back before the end, but, you know, he doesn't sound confident about it. So we can't really afford for Rashford to break down again, really, can we? Especially when Cavani didn't look fantastic tonight and we got potentially 14 games left.
Yeah, well, the thing about Cavani, though, is that I could imagine him being massively frustrated tonight, because there weren't a lot of stuff for him to do, and all the opportunities that were, we had the ball and we could have put him into a decent scoring opportunity, we were just taking shots that just kind of just fell flat. I mean, I'm all for us getting a goal and taking the keeper by surprise sometimes, but like, I'm pretty sure they sent them by carrier pigeon. It took that, like, you saw them a mile off, really, is what I'm trying to say. So I can understand Cavani probably was a bit frustrated, but
it kind of trudged off tonight, didn't it? But
yeah, and I don't know. It always seems like these kind of games where Cavani doesn't really get fed as much as you'd like him to, and again, they need the space, don't they? He needs the space to be able to manoeuvre. But we were talking about the movement and the fact that no one was really moving at all anyway. It was a very, like...
Yeah, it's hard, though, isn't it, when there is, like, 10, 11 behind the ball, the space is at a premium anyway, isn't it? It's just, where do you move? Like, when it's so packed and crowded and passing lanes are blocked and stuff like that, it just... Obviously, it can be done. I'm not saying it can't. I'm not saying it's impossible to play against that. But
well, on our day when we can actually pass to each other, that's probably not much of a problem. But when we were struggling to find each other,
yeah,
the simplest of passes, like, you could imagine that Cavani's like, well, there's no point in me running for this ball or trying to find some space, because no one's gonna find me. It's just pretty annoying.
Yeah.
And then when we catch teams on the break and we're trying to put in nice through balls to each other, and even that's not paying off. And no one seemed to be clicking at all in that regard, which is just, again, it's annoying. And there's no point in really going over the fact that we know that we couldn't really pass very well. I think even if we don't have Rashford and we don't have Martial at the end of the season, I don't think it's going to be a massive issue with that many games left, because we still do have Cavani and Greenwood.
And
we've still got players like Ahmad who can contribute. And as far as I'm aware, now that obviously the stuff that's happened with Mata in recent weeks, obviously our condolences go out to him, but I'm assuming that he'll eventually be coming back into the fold before the end of the season, because I believe he's been offered an extension on his contract, and so he obviously wants to stay, and he wants to prove his worth again in another season. But if he gets to get some game time at the end of the season, like, there's a way we can fit these players into the team and maybe have, like, a two up front with Greenwood and Cavani. Like a 4-4-2.
Says Mike Bassett over here.
You're excited about a 4-4-2?
Yeah, well, with Greenwood and Cavani up front, yeah, of course I am. That sounds like a fantastic thing. Obviously, it might not, probably won't ever happen, but
I don't really know where the wingers come from in a 4-4-2, but you kind of...
You got James and Ahmad.
Yeah, you kind of said something about us looking like we've given up a little bit there, or something along them lines, and I think you hear
what you want to hear, Simon.
No, it was about Cavani giving up and looking, you know, like, what's the point in running for this? And lots of, you know, I'm not going to get found. And I think there was kind of a deflated look about the team. I think, like, even when we came back out for the second half, like, they nothing much improved. I don't think, like, straight away, the passes were still astray and we weren't creating too much. And that goal just kind of came out of a bit of luck, didn't it? Well, not luck, well, you know, we forced luck, I suppose, with Cavani pressing. But as soon as they got the goal, it looked like they were switched on. And, you know, well, because it meant that Brighton had to come at them, you know, if they were going to get anything more. You know, they didn't have a lead to sit back and defend anymore. And that kind of changed the game. So, yeah, once we got that goal, it kind of felt that we could get more, because Mason Greenwood had a chance pretty much straight away after, didn't he?
He did. And,
yeah, go on. Sorry.
Sorry, yeah, I sort of half remembered and jumped in at the same time. But yeah. No, with
Matt Manaman over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
What's he doing there? Don't start. It's traumatic. More on what Matt said there about, yeah, well, you reflected on it yourself about us not looking like ourselves, and that whole, some of it was down to body language. Bruno Fernandes didn't really look like himself today, and there's been a few games like that. I'm half convinced that that Ralph Little grew a beard and went on there, put United kit on, and because I'll tell you this for free, he was half the world away for part of that game. But he stepped up where it mattered, and we were having a bit of a mini debate in the chat about, you know, substitutions, and of course, who would you take off? I jokingly said maybe it's one of these at half time, whatever, you know, four off, four on, yeah, like before.
McTominay was warming up, weren't he? Mm. All the way through the second half, and yeah. It was like, right, well, who's he coming on for?
Yeah, it didn't come to that. But like you say, with Bruno was in the right place for, you know, to make the assists, despite having a frustrating game in the main, let's say. But then Greenwood's other chance, yes. Greenwood did have another chance, didn't he?
Yeah, Wan-Bissaka cross, weren't it, I think, and he just kind of flashed it wide, I believe.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so that was kind of agonising, really. Wan-Bissaka put in a decent enough cross. Some of the crosses he was putting in, you know, he was a bit suspect at times tonight. Like you said yourself, a lot...
Final balls, though, weren't it? Yeah. It was all... Yeah, we got into positions around the box. That wasn't the problem, but like every time we tried to dink it into the box, or every cross didn't hit the right man. And yeah, it was a lot of that. So, other than that, what have we got? The VAR call. I don't think that was a penalty.
No. It would have been very, very soft if that would have been the case, which we've had before in the past. So it would have been just our luck, really. But yeah, I don't think Danny will be too annoyed with that, really, because he'll be like, yeah.
Besides that, Van der Beek came on. Dan James came on for Marcus Rashford. Not long after Van der Beek comes on, we get the goal. I thought it was Van der Beek at first. I had no idea who had scored or what had happened when that goal went in. But again, Bruno's involved, has the ball out wide, floats it into Pogba, who you're hoping is going to connect with it nice and crisp, and a lovely volley, smash it in. But he absolutely spaffs it and kind of just balloons up in the box. But luckily, Mason Greenwood's there and scores a header, which I think Solskjaer's been getting on at him for. He said before that he's got everything in his locker, but he can't head a ball. He needs to learn how to head a ball. And again, it's bounced in off the defender, but...
Yeah, it was going in anyway, weren't it, really?
Yeah, yeah, it was on target.
And all of a sudden, instead of having Ralph Little on the pitch, we had Ralph Wiggum. That meme throwing himself through the glass. It was Cavani-esque, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. So it turns out that staying at home and not going to the under-21s really did him a lot of favours. Go to the under-21s and salvage some sort of glory with them, and hopefully they'll get through to the finals. Or stay at home and learn how to head the ball. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he made the right choice there, because the under-21s were piss poor.
Yeah.
So, and not even he would have saved them, I don't think.
No.
So, I mean, he made the right choice, because now we can head the ball.
Yeah, that's good.
Who knew that all you had to do was stay at home for like 9 or 10 days, learn how to head the ball, and you'll be able to get the winning goal?
Call me a sceptic, but I am not wholly convinced that Mason Greenwood was injured for these 2 weeks. I'm just a little bit sceptical of the fact that there was no signs of injury during the Leicester game, and then suddenly he picks one up in between us finishing that game and probably no United training before they report for international duty. So,
are you comparing it to like the yellow card at Christmas thing?
It could have been a purposeful injury in inverted commas.
Maybe he broke his penis.
Easy there, in Whoa. Anthony Impartial. Your bias is showing.
You know, because he's a rude boy and all that.
Matron. Anyway, we hung on, didn't we? We got the goal, and there's a bit of relief. It wasn't always guaranteed to come, but it did come, and it puts us in a decent position now, which we'll get to after the break. I mean, were we hanging on? I don't think we were hanging on, really. We gave a few free kicks away in our own half, and it was kind of felt like we might be in Evertonville again with the ones that were dinked into box. There was a bit of a scuffle between Maguire and Dunk, which the commentators were getting so excited about as if they were going to break it out into a full fist fight. But
can we actually break this down, though, like in real terms, right? So,
what? UFC, man on man?
UFC style, like, fight here, right? Dunk or Maguire? Dunk is a wiry guy, and I can imagine he'd be a tough cookie. But come on, slabhead.
Are you allowed to headbutt in UFC?
Yes, I think so.
Because there's only one winner.
If Friends has taught me anything, Friends, a TV show, not you guys, is you're not allowed to fish hook, which is when you get your finger in someone's mouth and hook them like a fish, like, oh. Mm-hmm. Or eye gouge, which is shoving your fingers in someone's eye.
They're the only rules.
They're the only rules you're not allowed to do, apparently.
So Maguire could run at Dunk like a
just
bull.
Just head first, yeah, just absolutely headbutt him to death.
There's only one winner then.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't even think there's no debate.
I laughed because you accidentally said UFC, as if Steve McManaman has, like, bought the Federation and, I want to see him fight Fletch. Yeah, but I think, yeah. Yeah, but he's got, yeah. Yep, yeah. He'll be all right, Fletch. He's only been bitten in the ear.
Yeah, then Fletch pops up with, are they going to sell Shaw? Looks like he fancies Harry Maguire.
Which I thought was a bit out there.
Yeah.
Easy, though.
Yeah, he likes him as a man and a captain. I'm not sure he's attracted to him. Anyway, we'll come back after the break and talk about what the win means for us top four wise. I think we kind of know now, but we'll go through the motions and talk about that. And then we've got the Granada game, so we'll catch you in a minute. The Premier League's in full swing, and that means it's time to throw on your club shirt and make sure you don't take a nasty tackle below the waist. Our partners at Manscaped are here so you stay clean and take care of yourself where it matters most. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs with the code TDTPOD at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free delivery off your order. We've gone for years without using the right tools for the job, but no fear, Manscaped is here with an absolute screamer to deliver the best tools for your below-the-waist grooming experience. Now, Matthew, you are our resident hairy man, and I believe you've been testing out the Lawnmower 3.0.
Yeah, that's true. So, a little bit about me. If you haven't seen me in the flesh, I'm a bit like a bald, young Tom Selleck. Chiseled physique, but hairy as a Yeti. So, I find it pretty difficult to find any sort of razor that kind of keeps up with my abnormal hair growth. So, when Manscaped sent us the Lawnmower 3.0, I was delighted because finally I'd be able to have something to be able to tackle the main downstairs.
Get 20% off and free delivery with the code TDTPOD at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free delivery at manscaped.com and use the code TDTPOD. Pick the right squad when shaving your bits and trust Manscaped to get the job done.
Okay, we're back. So let's talk top four and kind of the weekend's results, I guess, which pretty much just went all in our favour. Leicester lost to City, which kind of didn't go in our favour, but let's be honest, we're not going to win the league and we're not going to catch City, so whatever. So Leicester dropping points. Chelsea obviously massively dropped points with 5-2 defeat to West Brom, so which is... Everybody's kind of been raving about Chelsea recently and the ones that are going to catch us, but nope. And then obviously Tottenham threw it away in the last minutes today. They had a chance to narrow the gap a little bit, and I think they jump into the top four? Can't actually remember now.
I think momentarily they might have, yeah.
I think they would have been in the top four if they won, yeah, but they didn't. So fifth place is now 11 points behind us, West Ham are still to play, so they can jump above them. Either way, at the end of the weekend, will it be at least 9 points clear of fifth place in the Premier League, which is, when you think about the fact that this is the exact point where Project Restart started last year, 9 games left, and we were what? I can't remember how far we were out of the top four at this point.
We're six, weren't we?
I think we were fifth, weren't we, when things restarted, but we were maybe 4 or 5 points outside the top four at that point. But either way, you know, 9 games left to be 11, 9 points clear of whatever fourth or fifth. It's a drastic improvement.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good position to be in. All we've got to do is just grind out these results now. We just do what we've been doing. And
is it done for you, do you think?
No, I don't think it's done. Because it's United and we like to make things difficult for ourselves. I think there's probably a defeat in that run. A couple of draws, maybe.
Well, it's Spurs away next Sunday. I think that's the only real big test we've got left. I'll just have.
We've not got Chelsea again.
No.
We've got Leeds again, haven't we? And Liverpool.
It's Leeds in 2 weeks. So I'll pull up the fixtures. I'll tell you what we've got. Spurs next away, then Burnley at home, then Leeds away, Liverpool we've still got, but it's at home. We've also got Leicester at home, and Wolves away, Fulham at home, and Villa away. So,
there's a loss in there, and there's easily two draws.
Which ones are you saying the loss?
Liverpool probably, and then Villa draw and Tottenham.
Do you think what a draw at to tip you a bit?
Yeah.
A draw at Tottenham. Well, a lot of the other teams in the top four have also got similar sort of fixtures, though. We have to remember it's not plain sailing for everybody. Yeah. So I don't know. I can't off the top of my head think what the maths is, but I think it's 4 or 5 wins, does it? I don't know whether we've got 4 or 5 wins in the next 8 games, but I can't see it us capitulating the amount that it need to happen to drop out the top four now, would you say?
I'd say that, it's not a done deal. Just being cautious there, because in second place, like, we by definition we are the best of the rest, and we're kind of, it's one of those, like, keep doing what you're doing and you'll get there. You'll be not only in the Champions League places, but kind of with that kind of mantle of being at least the ones that didn't quite win the league but were the best of the rest of the teams. So, and again, as I keep banging on about, it's the improvement from last season, from third to second. And that just would look just better. It just would. It would show you that we're moving in the right direction, like, literally. And some silverware, again. Yeah. But in terms of the top four race, you know, the reason why I say it's not over is because, and we'd have to drop a few places, it's just that first half today just shows you that. I don't know whether, because you guys said, like, you know, maybe it's complacency crept in or anything like that. I don't know where we're getting this complacency from. This is the team that sort of went strutting into that game in January when we were top of the league, I think. Around top of the league or very, very close to it, or there was a point in it, something like that. Just beat Sheffield United at home and you can be top of the league. You can be cock of the north.
I think that's the game that felt like it fell apart, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. The momentum came crashing down. In the words of Louis van Gaal, our confidence was smashed.
Smashed.
But, no, that's what convinces me. Yeah, the first half today, and whether it was complacency or whether they just could not find each other with a down pass, you know, you've got to tighten that up.
Yeah.
If you're going to finish in the top four, let alone like in the coveted second place, you get no prizes for second, of course, but it's just that kind of that knowledge that we're moving in the right direction in the league table. And I can, like Matt said, I can see some sort of iffy results, but I'm basing it off just some of the passages of play, if you can call it that, in the game we saw tonight. Cause it just didn't connect at all, and I think a better team would have beaten us tonight. Yeah. And Brighton are all right. They are 14th, though. And it's one of those, the league table doesn't lie to you. They were saying that Brighton could be better off if they had a better striker, maybe, you know, because they create a lot of chances. Even today, they created a few. But we're not talking about them anymore. We're talking about us, and that's what's frustrating, because we've got the tools to actually just get this job done efficiently, but we're going to have those kind of games.
Yeah, well, we say that, though, but we're 30 games in, we've lost four.
That is actually quite good, isn't it, and, in the grand scheme?
And when you think about the fact that of our first three games, we lost two of them.
We've lost them all at home, don't we, I think?
Yeah.
Which
Yeah, is... we have. Well, the game, two of the games that we lost were when we hadn't had a pre-season. We just came in essentially cold into a season, 3 weeks, 4 weeks behind everybody else. And two of our defeats out of our four were them.
Hmm.
I mean, there were bad defeats, the Crystal Palace one and the Spurs one, but other than that, what the Arsenal won to a penalty, and what was it? Who else did we lose to? Okay, even Sheffield United. Four defeats out of 30 is good going, and it's half as much as everybody else in the top 7, 8. There's only City, funnily enough, who've lost less than us, and they've lost three. So we've drawn too many games, that's a given, but I don't see how our form goes from 30 games, 4 defeats, and then the last 8 games we lose a shed load and we drop out.
Oh, yeah,
it depends on how much we really want to win this Europa League, though.
Yeah, I think the focus has to be the Europa League now, and I think we'll kind of tie that conversation into this one, I guess, but I think the eggs are soon going to have to go into that basket, but if we're looking at what we've got Granada now for 2 weeks in a row. We've got arguably our second hardest game next weekend after the first leg. Then we go and do the second leg of Granada, which, you know, we're hoping we come through that relatively unscathed and get through that quite easily. Then we've got Leeds. If we can get some sort of points out of the Leeds and Spurs game, maybe, yeah, get a draw at Tottenham. Obviously, a win would be lovely, but get something against Spurs, get a win against Leeds, then you're a lot more comfortable, aren't you? And then if you're in the semi-finals of the Europa League, then I think it's eggs in the Europa League basket then.
Yeah, and it depends who we get in the semi, though.
Yeah, well, either way, it's pretty difficult, but I would say it's more difficult if you get Ajax. Roma are worse off in just looking at it plainly. Roma are worse off in the league in Serie A than AC Milan, who we beat. AC Milan have been second or first pretty much all season in Serie A, whereas Roma are hanging around fifth, sixth, seventh. So, you know, just that's a basic way of looking at it. But whereas Ajax have run away with the Dutch league, I mean, there's not as much good teams in the Dutch league, you know, maybe two or three rather than six or seven in Serie A, but you know, so yeah, but you're right, it does depend on who we come up against. But I think at that point, at the end of this month, it's going to be a decision time, you know. Well, even then, I don't even think it's a decision. Would you strive to finish second, or would you just go for Europa League and, you know, not care about too much where you finish in the top four?
Okay, yeah. So on my previous point, like it's made me think, really, because when it gets to like getting promoted to the Premier League in the Championship, well, you can finish like third or fourth or fifth. It doesn't really matter in the end. It's the end goal, and if you're not going to win the league, but you get in the Champions League, does it really matter if you finish third, fourth, or second? Like, no one really cares. History doesn't remember it. It's a bit of a... I'm going to contradict myself a little.
Well, here, everybody remembers Jose finishing second.
Yeah, they're never going to forget that. Yeah, and he's going to make sure, aren't they? Yeah, apart from that extreme example, it's... We're living in a world where it's Champions League or bust, and above that, you win the league. But if you can't, Champions League or bust, if you're a team like us.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of mentality shifted since the Ferguson days. We're not in those days anymore, of course. It's funny to think back. Just,
like, well, Champions League was pretty much a given under Fergie, wasn't it?
So yeah, it was.
It never came up.
Yeah, exactly. It's a different debate now. But clearly it is. So, no, it's a good question that you ask, and my response does change a little bit now. in the sense that if we can go and win the Europa League and finish fourth, well, of course everyone's fine with that because they want Ollie to lift a trophy that much.
Mm.
So yeah, no, of course you'll take that. In that, suck your hands off, as it was misquoted. That Moyes would suck your hands. Did you hear that whole debacle? Jamie Redknapp was misquoted. They thought he said, if you offered it was, in fact, the United game, I think. It's like, yeah, if you offered David Moyes a point now, he'd suck your hands off. He said he'd snap your hands off. But Twitter went mental for about 10 minutes thinking he'd physically suck your hands. And it was the whole thing, maybe it's Moyes, it's how desperate would you have to beat us to... Anyway. Winning a trophy, I mean, at a push. You finish in the Champions League places and you win a trophy. That's amazing. But... when it comes to eggs, we're talking about eggs more than I thought we would on an Easter podcast with eggs in the basket.
It was unintentional, but I'm going to roll with it.
Well, you know. It's funny with this run of games we've got coming up, because who's to say that we don't go to Granada? Do we go there first?
Away first, I think.
Yeah. And if we can gently cuff them aside 4-0, if, and it's a big if.
Do a Sociedad, yeah.
Exactly, it's not like we've not gone to Spain and actually dispatched an opponent pretty early on and made the second leg a bit of a non-event there and then.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're looking at it differently, because the thing is, it's not like, I mean, it's never a given, but if that was the case, we go and score 3 goals over there maybe without conceding, something like that. Put the tie to bed, in theory. But the Premier League games we've got coming up, they're more like big occasions than... games, because think about like Leeds and the history we've got there. Tottenham, we owe them an ass kicking for that 6-1, and the whole thing about compounding more misery on Mourinho and all the rest of it.
And there's Liverpool and Leicester.
And
for me, they're the big games. You got Leicester at home. Obviously, we've been neck and neck with Leicester for a lot of the season.
That's big.
Liverpool still could go on a charge. I mean, Rio Ferdinand changed his mind during the coverage tonight, they thought they would get fourth into the top four in fourth place instead of Chelsea or Tottenham. And there's the Tottenham game, which is also obviously big for a few reasons. They're all miles behind us on points wise. It's still going to take a big swing. We've got such a buffer that if we lose to Liverpool, we lose to Tottenham, you know, we're still not caught by them in theory.
Yeah.
Leicester at home is a big one, but you know, if you go through them 3 games undefeated and get a win in one of them, you know, you're looking comfortable in second, I think, then. But obviously, we want both, don't we? We want second and Europa League, but I think that's possible.
Yeah, I do think it is possible, and I would very much like that to happen. It's just, have we got over that mentality? Have we got
the semi-final?
Yeah, have we got the bottle to go ahead and actually win something? Because the occasion gets to us, and we just can't seem to get the job done. And
you say that, but I don't think the occasion always gets to us. Liverpool FA Cup game, did the occasion get to us then? I don't think it did. And that was a big one. That I know it's early in an FA Cup that we're now out of, but. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. But I mean, it's not. We're not touching distance of the cup now, because we are. We are. What? How many games? So we're through 4 games away. Is it 2 semi-finals or 1?
Yeah, it's two legs in the quarters, 2 legs in the semis,
2 legs in the semis. So we're 5 games away from actually winning the trophy.
Everybody on the other side of the draw is hugely beatable. It's just the fact that it's Arsenal winning is a bit of a. Not a bogey side in there, but kind of a little bit with Solskjaer and Arsenal. But it's our side of the draw that's the worry, isn't it, with the Roma and Ajax thing. But it is winnable. It's not a lot of games to focus on. So I just think, yeah, just get to the end of this month. We're not going to be needing too many more points from that point on, really, I don't think. So, yeah.
So is it 14 games left in total?
13
if,
now.
If we get to the final.
13 now.
Right.
So, there's not a lot to go at. There's 7 weeks left of the season, 14 games. So it's...
We've been doing this for so long.
Yeah, but it's... Yeah.
I don't think it's a massive thing to suggest that we can't just keep on doing what we're doing and just kind of...
Yeah, well, the international break was good for us, I think.
Yeah, plough through it. But it's just the worry that... Like, if Rashford is injured now and he's out for a few weeks, then maybe we are in a bit of a pickle, especially without Martial. But then Martial might come back at the end of the season and Rashford might only be out for a few weeks. It's probably better if we have injuries now and get it out of the way for the next 2 weeks, and
yeah,
then cap players come back into the fold for the proper crunch.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. April is not a free hit by any stretch, but you know that's the easiest side of things we've got going.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe if Martial's injured,
Rashford has a week off.
Yeah, we might be okay. Yeah, if you can win away in Granada, you know. Players can get a rest in the home leg, hopefully. Well, then it's May is the crunch time in any season anyway, but it will, I think, particularly for us, it's going to be.
So, you say we've got Burnley, and Wolves, Spurs, Leeds, Liverpool, Leicester. So we're not really coming up with any teams that are fighting for relegation there, are we?
No, none.
So we've got no one really.
Oh, I think we've got
Burnley.
Fulham at home,
that.
We've got Fulham at home.
Fulham. Well, I'm not sure. Like, they lost today, so I think they need to win like every game, don't they? Now to the end of the season for them to be able to stay.
They're pretty close to Newcastle, though, aren't they? So it's going to come down to that.
So what I'm thinking is, if we've got a few teams there that not necessarily don't have anything to play for, but Leicester, obviously, we know that realistically they should finish top four along with us.
Yeah, but they'll be looking over their shoulder more than us.
Yeah, they will be, but...
Well, they've not got the same buffer we've got because we're 4 points clear of them.
What I'm saying, if we can get past Tottenham, knock them out of the running, it's not a more massive game for Leicester when we play them.
Mm.
Obviously, I know that a lot can happen in between them games, but like Leeds, they're only playing, again, essentially for the pride and for just... trying to play for the occasion.
I think they're playing for top half, aren't they? I think that's their goal now.
Yeah, but they're not playing for...
There's no jeopardy, yeah.
Yeah, there's no jeopardy. There's no Europa place or anything like that. And then who else we've got? Leicester, obviously we know top four. Tottenham, Liverpool against the occasion. Wolves, are they pushing for...
Liverpool will want top four, won't they?
And the occasion.
I think that's the biggest game. Liverpool.
I stand by it. Liverpool, Spurs, and Leicester. The obvious big games are
the ones in the top four. Yeah,
yeah, are big. They are big games because everybody in the top four, top six, top seven, whatever, has been done at some point, and they're like, oh, they're out of it. But another team slips up, and they're all going to be neck and neck throughout it. So I don't think anybody's going to be written off by the time we play them. So I think there's still going to be a lot on the line. Whoever we play at whatever point, I think it's only going to start fizzling out like right towards the end of the season, which is when we're hopefully doing semi-finals and finals of Europa League.
Yeah,
but we'll see. I mean, does anybody have too much to say about Granada? I don't know too much about them, to be honest with you. I just know that they're doing all right.
What I would say, I'm no expert, but I'd look at. I look at La Liga today and I think they're 7th or 8th in their league, and it might be a case where they're sort of, this is, in the same breath as I'm saying, let's try and go over there and cuff them to one side gently. They seem to also be a team that might be putting everything into the Europa League.
Mm.
So you've got to be wary of that. And they do have some good players. You know, you've got the Kennedys of this world, and they've got the Soldados of this world, and... They've got some good players. They're in there on merit, aren't they? They've got to this stage not by fluke. So you've got to be careful. But yeah, like it could be that kind of thing. Their league position being leveraged against. Look, let's just go for it in the Europa League, and you might face a different Granada side than you would in La Liga.
Mm.
But luckily, we're not in La Liga.
Hmm.
So should we have some predictions then before we scoot off? What have you got for me, Matthew?
Three whole English nil. Greenwood with a brace.
I was going to say
Cavani.
Two.
One.
Okay. I'll take 3-0 should be the job done, so I would take that. But what have you got for me, James?
Well, I'm going to shock you here. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to United. I get the feeling we'll concede. I'm not going to give you goal scorers. Don't know any. But I'm quietly confident. Let's put it that way. That's a Granada report for you.
I'm pretty confident. I'm not going to be original at all. I'm going to echo Matt's 3-0. I think we've got the firepower to go out there and just get it done quickly. And they may have learned lessons from how Sociedad played us. They may. I don't know what the mode of attack usually is. But, you know, I'm pretty confident that we can get this wrapped up early. So we'll find out on Thursday. And at that point, we'll have a little discussion about it, and we'll bring a new podcast on Friday morning. So until then, we have been the Devil's Trident Podcast. I have been Simon. He has been Matt.
That is true. I can confirm this. I have been Matt. Goodbye.
And he has been James.
I have indeed.
And we will see you on Friday morning. Cheers.
Bye.
See you later.